I'm going to make sure I'm on here real quick. Yes. All right. Everybody wants to get an invitation.
And everybody, when they're sending out invitations, there I go. Everybody, when you're sending out invitations, the one thing you do is this. You say, I hope people read the invitation and they'll come to my party. Why? Because you want people to come and rejoice in whatever it is. You know, you have a child and let's say they're 5 years old and there's benchmark parties. There's one-year-old, five-year-old, 10-year-old. What's the worst thing on your mind? I know as a parent, the worst thing on my mind is if I'm sending a birthday party for my five-year-old or my 10-year-old, I'm praying, God, please let people show up. Because then there's going to be so much disappointment, so much emotional damage, so much for me to clean up, and so much money I have to spend to make them happy after that. Right? That's the reality. But here's the other reality. When we give invitations, we know that not everybody is going to come. We know that from the gate. I'm going to give 100 invitations. I know that maybe 10 will come. That's just the nature of everything that is going on. And here I see he messed it up for me. All right. So when you're sending these invitations, and you want it to be the prettiest, you want it to look right. You just want everybody to come. And so when we think about the Bible, we think about Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Think about it being invited, okay? And think about you being the Great Commission. Because God gives us a Great Commission and he says, and Jesus gives it, and he says, everyone go and make disciples, baptizing them, right? What are we doing? He said, go and make them. So go and get them is what he's saying. He's giving you that commission. Now, when we see this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, we get a little bit afraid. Look at what it says. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Everybody wants to be saved, but nobody knows who he is except for you. Right? You already know who he is. Now watch what he's saying. He says, for the scripture, I'm sorry, in verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You haven't even told them. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now stop there. Because if you're thinking of the first century and you're thinking of the Greek, you're thinking of the word keruso for preacher or to preach, one who is going to proclaim. Do you notice how it didn't say there that you got to wait for a preacher who went to college for Bible, who went to a preaching school, who wears a suit and who, you know, does things a certain way and who stands before you on Sunday? That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible is saying is everyone who has knowledge of the word needs to proclaim it. You, in turn, need to preach it. Not the physical person of being a minister or a preacher, but for the pulpit, but someone who is going to tell people something about it. We all want to grow. That's reality. Everybody wants to grow. And if everyone brought one, we'd be 200 here. If everyone brought one. But what's stopping it from happening? Nobody's inviting anybody. I don't mean to be hard on you, but if it hits your toes, it's because it's probably true, right? Nobody's inviting anybody. And that can be said not only in this congregation, that's the majority of the Lord's church. And it's saddening that nobody is inviting anybody. And when it's time to grow and they say we need to ramp up evangelistic efforts, what do? Let's go ahead and get a committee together. Let's figure out how we're going to outreach. Let's figure out what posters we're going to put somewhere. How are we going to evangelize in there? What? Just invite people. Just invite people. Look at this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. I'm going to show you today how God has been inviting people very simply since it all happened. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Look at the slide. Jesus invites the heavy laden. Jesus didn't say, I hope they come. I hope they come. I'm living a good life. Maybe they're going to follow. Look what he said. Come to me. Sounds like an invitation to me. Jesus is there preaching and teaching. People are astonished. You think they would just follow Jesus, but he still has to tell them, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you ever told your friends, why don't you come to church, man? It really feels good to come to church, and we worship God, and we kind of clear our minds, and then we move on, and we get back to our daily lives, but we're coming to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Very interesting, in the first century, the rabbis, when the children, the male children of Jewish lineage were about 13 years old, the rabbi would go through and teach, and when he was teaching them, he would pick some and say, follow me, follow me. And that would mean, take my yoke upon you, take my teaching, and you will be a rabbi now. And all the kids wanted to hear that. Poor Peter, right? James and John. Boy, they were fishing. They were, what, Matthew? He was, tax collecting. You have all these things. They weren't picked. They were not chosen first. So to hear Jesus, the teacher of teachers, go to them and say, follow me. That's to say, I'm coming. I've been chosen by God's man, by the Son of Man. And still, the apostles didn't come because they knew who he was and say, oh, let me be an apostle to you. I will do great things. I promise I'll be martyred. I'll write the Bible. Wasn't like that. What Jesus said to them was, come, right? Come, you've got to be invited. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Where do you go when you're beat down? When you have nowhere to go? When you can't pay your rent? Lord, I don't know where I'm going to get this money, but help me out somehow. Lord, I don't know. Lord, help me. I'm in pain. We always go to him when something's wrong. But he's saying, look, if you just came to me from the beginning, at the point where I said, go, look where your life would be. Have you looked at people before and you've seen them in the church and you say, man, I want that life. That guy started at 10 years old with his mom and dad and coming to church and he listened. And that's how far you are behind. God is always leading people the right way because his burden is light. Look, God invited everyone. Look at what he says in Isaiah. Isaiah 55 verses 1 through 3. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You see, we had Jesus inviting. Now we have God inviting. You want it? Come get it. Now watch this. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. I'm going to take care of you. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You're not going to have to worry. I will take care of you. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully. Now, I'm not telling you that. Look at what it says. God is saying, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Now, back up just a minute. Look at verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Money does not satisfy you. Trust me. You could buy the best car. It's going to get old. And you're not going to like it after a while. Then you're going to have to buy another one. Or you're going to buy one and say, you know what, I like his better. Or you're going to buy some shoes and soon you're going to say, man, those are out of style. You're going to buy your watch and you're going to say it's a Rolex. 20 years later, your friend's going to look at it and say, man, that's old. And you're going to say, what? I need the new one. Because money doesn't satisfy you. What satisfies you is spiritual teaching, understanding where you're going, who you belong to, what you're building your children up with, and where they're going to go. That's what satisfies. Because at the end of the day, you could buy a $250,000 house. When you die, it stays here. It's not going to satisfy you. Look, and so he says, incline your ear. Verse 3, there's the part. God is inviting you to do what? Listen. Listen. Incline your ear and come to me. Just do it. Here and with you, come with me, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. God invites sinners. All right, look at this. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Come now. Do you see the invitation? Come now, and let us reason together. Let me talk to you about it. You better believe that there are atheists out there that don't believe in God, but when you talk to them, they'll say, why do you do that? And what do? They start to reason to you why there is no God. My answer is always, why are you reasoning to me with something you don't even believe? It makes no sense. But people are going to reason with you. So God says, come now and let us reason together. Let me talk some sense into you. Though your sins are like scarlet, majority, right? Your sins are like scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now look at verse 19. You come to reason. If you are willing and obedient, God's going to let you burn if you want to burn. God's going to let you make a bad decision and buy a Corvette when you don't make money to buy a Corvette. God's going to let you make bad decisions when you don't reason correctly, when you're not thinking right. If you are willing, he says, when you're reasoning, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I'm going to take care of you. The Holy Spirit invites. Now we have God inviting. We have Jesus inviting people. Now we have the Holy Spirit in reference inviting people. Now we're going to stop in the sermon right now. I want you to think about, in your mind, how many people have you invited? We've already seen the examples. And how many times have we said in the congregations of the Lord's people, we're dying. We're losing people. We're losing our children. People are just going away. How many times have you invited more people? People are going to come and go. It's your job to invite more people. But here's the problem. I want you to listen and be honest with yourself and be honest in your heart. The reason why you don't invite people because you're afraid of the reaction of the person. Oh, they're a holy roller. Oh, I don't want to bother them with this. I don't know what their reaction might be. They might not. Yeah. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me before my people, before people, then I will be ashamed of you before my Father who is in heaven. A simple, hey, you want to go to church? And guess what? Everybody who you're ashamed to ask, those people aren't your friends anyway. These people aren't going to come and tell you one way or another. You didn't have a lot of communication with them anyway. So what are you really losing? You're gaining with Christ. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, the Lord, the church, say, come. There it is. And who's he talking to? The seven churches of Asia. The seven churches that he built in Asia, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Come. Do you see all the invitations? The invitations? And how many times do we struggle with ourselves? I know I need to get my mind right. I know I need to get my mind right. I know I need to get better. I know I need to get better. You know, all you have to do is take that first step. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, the human invitation. This is where it gets interesting. This is the human aspect of inviting people to come and hear. Andrew invited Peter. Watch this. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Now, you got to understand these people. Now, who did Andrew hear it from? John. Who did Simon hear it from? Andrew. Right? So it happens that way. People invite other people to hear those things. Everyone in here, it didn't just happen that you were, let me back up. Because there are those situations where somebody's reading and they find it. And they come to the church and they find out what it is. But the vast majority of people who are here, they're here because somebody invited you. If they didn't invite you, they invited your mom, and you're here now. If they didn't invite your mom and you're here now, they invited your grandma. And if they didn't invite your grandma, they invited your great-grandma. And you have lineage because someone invited someone in your distant past to come now. And we wonder why it's not growing. But now we have this situation. And it says, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Did he find his own way? Was he saying, I'm going to go search and find? Was he looking for something different? No. His brother came to him and said, come to Jesus. Come and see. And now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. When Jesus sees you, he gives you a name too. When you're invited and he sees you and you're willing to follow and obey the gospel, he calls you Christian. He gives you a name also. Look at the human invitation. John 1, verse 43 through 46. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. In other words, take my teaching and come on. And now Philip was from Bethsaida. Now watch this. He said to Philip, though, follow me. He's still inviting Philip. Philip's not going to come on his own. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. Now look at how it's working. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, what? Come and see. Now, back that all the way up to John's preaching. Now, before John, people would speak in prophecy concerning Jesus, concerning the Messiah, that there would be one that comes out of Bethlehem, that there would be one that comes out of Nazareth, that there would be one born of your own brethren, him you will listen to, and we could keep going on in the scriptures. They were talking about Jesus, but there was only one that was going to be the initiator, John the Baptist, who was going to be the forerunner for Jesus Christ. So, of course, he came and started telling everybody, Jesus is coming. This is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to come to Jesus and be baptized for the remission of sins, and he's going to take care of it. And everybody came out, and everybody was baptized, and now you have people, the direct disciples of Jesus, saying, we heard John preach. This is Jesus. Come see. And now we have this situation. Hey, we found Jesus. Can anything good come out of Jesus, out of the Nazareth? Yes. Jesus, come and see. And so when you invite people, see, people have been tricked for so long. People don't know what gospel preaching is anymore. People have been listening to people on the TV like Joyce Myers and T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen and just blink your eyes and smile and it's going to be great. God wants you to succeed and all this and that. But nobody tells you the reality. The gospel is the truth. What it says is what it is. You're either going to believe or not, and we'll see in the afterlife. You cannot sugarcoat it. That's the way it is with inviting people to church. You can't be friends with somebody and just hope that they come. You got to ask that they come. John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30. The Samaritan woman invited people. Now, you remember the Samaritan woman? She was low down. I mean, we wouldn't even talk to her. If we were around, we'd stay away from her. Well, people will think you have something going on with this woman. And if you're married, you don't want nothing to do with this woman. Don't even be near her. And so she had a very bad reputation. And Jesus talked to her, was telling her all the things that she needed to hear, that Jesus was the one that was coming, that he's the Son of Man. If you knew who it was, who you were talking to right now, you would think totally different. And so now we're seeing this, and she realizes, she snaps. And she realizes who this person was she was talking to at the well, which is Jesus. And look what she does. John chapter 4, verse 28 through 30. Then the woman, then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men. You notice how she didn't keep it to herself? She said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. You see the invitation? She said, this is probably it right here. I'm going to invite you. Look at the response. And they came to him. You see that? It's not always going to work like that. I'm telling you, I stopped counting. There's probably thousands of people at this point that I've invited to come to church. Maybe 100 have stuck. And some of them are excelling. Some preaching, some teaching, some out there evangelizing, bringing more people. Why? It's because when I stop at the grocery store and I'm like, man, it's hot out there. And the person says, well, thank God we don't have rain. Do you really thank God? Do you? Let me tell you about it. You got to just invite, invite, invite. At the end of the day, that's what happens. We miss so many opportunities. You're at work. Man, I'm tired. It's a work week. We've been working. Whatever you're working, you know. And what are you doing this weekend? Oh, man. What are you doing this weekend? Well, I got Sunday wrapped up already. I found the church, the one that's in the Bible. Have you found it? And you'll be amazed. You're already in the conversation. What are they going to do? Are they going to say, oh, man, and they walk off and they it feels awkward. I've had one guy tell me before when I brought that up, oh, man, I don't want to hear that, and I don't want you to go to hell. You got to be ready. You got to tell them. And you know what? If you feel like you look crazy, you probably do. Right? You got to be a little bit out there. And the reason is because you see it, you understand it, you've tested the scriptures, you know it, and now you got to live for Christ. See, that's where that comes in. No longer do I live for myself, but I live for Christ. Right? If I died with Christ and I raised a new creature, guess what? I'm in Christ. I'm Christ now on earth, his vessels to be used. So no longer do I care what people think about me, what people, you know, think about what I say and how I invite them to church. And all I think about is, you know what? Put a check and put it in my file. I am saving this for my citizenship in heaven. I've done my work. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. Do you realize in the book of Hebrews when it says, you know, I've kept my faith. I'm running the race. How? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author of our salvation. You cannot run your race if you haven't looked to Jesus and followed what he says. All you're doing is playing games. And when you think about it, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many people have you heard that said, oh, I love the Lord. I got a relationship with the Lord. I love it. Do you go to church? No. Well, then you don't love him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are we commanded to do? Come together with the congregation of the Lord's people. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and following. To do what? To worship the Lord your God. He don't want, you can tell your parents, I love you, and then go do the things that they tell you not to do. And what do your parents say? I'm tired of hearing it. Don't tell me you love me. Show me. That's what they get to, right? My parents told me that a lot. Right? I'm tired, son. Just show me you love me. I'm tired. I can't even do this anymore. That's what Jesus wants. He don't want you to say, oh, I love him. I have a personal relationship with him. Just do what he says. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23 and following, it says this. It says there that in that day there are going to be those that come to Jesus. Now, this is death. You die. You go before God. And he says that there are going to be some that come and say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. We've done all these great mighty works and wonders in your name. What does that sound like? Those people, they think that they're Jesus' people. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. Well, now that you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. My sheep, when I speak, they hear my voice and they listen. Right? Now you know that those people are people who are all lip service. Now, I said all that to bring this down to you. Matthew chapter 28, right? Verses 19 and following, the Great Commission. That wasn't just lip service on Jesus, and he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them all things that I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the age. That wasn't just, you know, lip service. That was Jesus saying to do it. So we're coming to church, and that's wonderful, and that's good. But where does it stop? Have you invited people? That's part of you listening and loving Jesus also. And so the woman invited, and they said they were coming. Levi invited fellow workers. Luke 5, 27 through 29. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. So now you realize the situations, right? God invited everyone. God invited sinners. Jesus invited the heavy laden. They invited their brothers. They invited disciples. The woman invited men. Now we have Levi inviting workers. So this is every area of our life. So he's sitting there at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up. Jesus invited him. He followed him. And when he followed him, then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. You don't go into somebody's house unless you're invited. I'm not walking into anybody's door, right? Especially in Texas. You've got to be invited. Cornelius, watch this. Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 and verse 24. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. You know, I was shocked one time when this woman invited me to a Bible study, and it was a setup. And when I got there, she had her pastor and about three men from the church who were champions, right? They were champions of the Bible. And I went in there, and I felt like I was ambushed. I said, okay, well, let me get ready then. But look what happened. I told her, let's have a Bible study about the church that we see in the Bible where we can be saved. And this woman brought everybody and said, this guy's going to come and try to debate and everything. And I won. I did. And the woman was baptized. And then we tried to have it again, another one. And those men started telling their people, no, don't go, don't go. Because it's for real. And this is what happens. You invite somebody to the study, they invite people. Acts chapter 10, verse 33. So I sent you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present. You see, he invited, and they all came. We are all present to hear the things commanded you by God. And in the conclusion, most Christians I know have been saved by an invitation. You know that to be true. You know it to be true. Both God and Jesus invited people to follow, and they both saved souls. We're all commissioned to make disciples, and it works. It only stops working when we stop inviting. We got to put it to work. Invite people to church. Invite people to study. Invite people to obey. Now look, I didn't come here and preach this lesson to you to tell you to invite people and be the one telling you to do something and not do nothing about it. I invited multiple people to come here today while I was here to grow the church, to save souls, to reunite, to do all those things. Out of all the people I invited, not all of them showed up. One of them did. You see? And those are the people closest to us. How many people are close to you that you've invited? I hope today serves as a wake-up call that the growth of the church is in our hands. You know, it's in our hands. If anybody needs to be reunited with God the Father and in prayer and repent and come back to the church, now's your time. If anybody wants to put off sin in their life, to be raised again in the waters of baptism and have the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, add him to his church, then now's the time. As we stand and as we sing, come forward.